Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
So Super Tuesday gone, banished. We'll see you in 4 years. And it's Biden versus Trump. Everybody knew that was going to happen. But I still believe, and I could be desperately wrong here, that Joe Biden's not going to make it onto the ticket in November. Something is going to happen. Remember, 8 months. Politics, pretty long time. But the political landscape in America is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. 15 states voted, one U.S. territory yesterday. Donald Trump won 14 states. Joe Biden won all 15. However, Biden lost American Samoa. You know where that is? Come on, you know, South Pacific. So Trump won 14 states. He lost Vermont by 3,000 votes. And Vermont is it's Bernie Sanders. Okay. So anyway, nothing really happened that was out of the ordinary. I was on News Nation last night when the polls closed at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And here's what I said. Go.
As far as Vermont is concerned, you know, they're troublemakers up there. Everybody knows that. They don't like him. And so they went with Nikki Haley, who they don't like either, but she's better than Trump. I think the story, though, going forward is Nikki Haley.
How so?
I think that she'll get out. She'll get out this week, maybe tomorrow. I know that because she has no media buys scheduled. And that's always the key. If the candidate has no media buys, that means they're done. She's done. But I think it was a noble effort by the ambassador's part. I to have no one run, or the Democratic side like Marianne Williamson, okay, but come on. But Haley was articulate. She stood her ground. She made some excellent points on abortion and other matters. And I respect the fact that she put herself out there.
Okay, so my prediction about Nikki Haley, of course, came true this morning, where she said she is dropping out of the race. Go.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, "Never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind." It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Okay. But she's going to endorse Trump probably pretty soon. Because if Nikki Haley doesn't endorse Trump, then she can't run a legitimate campaign because the RNC won't back her in 4 years, in 2028. She has to endorse Trump. And so she will, because she wants to be president. She wants to run again. And she'll try. So the turtle, Mitch McConnell, Senate minority leader, used to be majority leader, he endorsed Trump today. He doesn't like Trump. I mean, you know, they're not friendly at all. And, but he, you know, McConnell, you have to play the game at that level. So, as I've told you, I've reported, the reason that no Democrats ever in the Congress deviate away from leadership is because their money will get cut off. Republicans don't do that because they're not, they don't have a central authority like the Democratic Party is. But if you go against the nominee, Donald Trump, you can kiss your Republican career goodbye, all right? It's not going to happen. So Haley will endorse Trump. I don't know whether she'll campaign for him, but I wouldn't be surprised if a rapprochement took place. I wouldn't be surprised if you're out there. And that's a memo. All right, so media reaction. One of the reasons that cable TV news is declining so rapidly in audience is because it's so predictable. And we knew that was going to happen. All right. So everybody knew that Trump was going to win. And the fact that he lost in Vermont by 3,000 votes was a surprise, but it doesn't matter. All right. So MSNBC, let's run their soundbite first. Go.
Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border, the idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on.
Oh, what a bunch of bull. I mean, just to say, the Republican voters don't base on economics, don't vote on, I mean, it's just, and Republicans want to drive all the blacks out of colleges. So here, look, the woman has a right to say whatever she wants, but why is NBC paying for that? Why? It's so moronic. It doesn't matter what her ideology is. It doesn't matter that she sees everything in the prism of black and white. None of that matters. But to make a statement that Republicans want to drive all the blacks out of colleges, to say something like that, and then to pick up your check from NBC News, that could never have happened even 10 years ago. And that's how far standards have slipped. All right, let's go to CNN. Go.
83% of people who say they're very conservative are supporting Donald Trump. What is conservative about Donald Trump? Abandoning Ukraine to Putin? That's conservative? Isolationism? Where's the law and order conservatives when you got somebody with 91 felony counts? In other words, this guy has completely rewritten what it means to be a conservative.
Again, just now, Van Jones is not a moron. He isn't. He's a smart guy, but he's disingenuous. So to say that Donald Trump is an isolationist when he was in office for 4 years, okay, and he did an amazing amount of things overseas. So he renegotiated all of our economic treaties, all right, pulled us out of the global warming thing in Paris, moved the capital U.S. embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, wiped out ISIS off the Middle East, okay? Convinced the Taliban not to attack American forces for 18 months, had a relationship with Putin that prevented Putin from invading anywhere. Remember, Putin took Crimea under Obama, all right? North Korea didn't cause any trouble because Trump went over there and had whatever he had, and China, always a problem, wasn't that much of a problem. We didn't hear about an invasion of Taiwan when Trump was president. So to say that Trump is an isolationist, and that was what Van Jones just said, is so contrary to the truth, it's stunning. But again, this is what is on American television now. There are no standards of accuracy, fairness. They just blather and throw out the stuff. Can you imagine if I'm sitting next to Van Jones? Number one, he wouldn't have said that because he knew I would have carved him up. Okay. Number two, if he did say it, I would have just said exactly what I said to you. Are you kidding? Did you miss those 4 years that Trump was engaged overseas in almost every way? Trump's an isolationist. He's going to abandon Ukraine to Putin. Based on what? Donald Trump never said he was going to abandon Ukraine. He said he could end the war. Okay, I don't know whether he can end the war or not. That's what Trump said. He didn't say, I'm going to give Ukraine to Putin. So how do you know, Van? What are you doing? What are you basing that on? There is no basis, no factual basis of any of this analysis. Final. Back to MSNBC again. Go.
We want to do normal stuff. And they are talking, literally, Donald Trump is hosting Hungarian dictator Viktor Orban at Mar-a-Lago on Friday. And they're talking about building camps for millions of people, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they're talking about doing. Building camps for millions of people. Oh, and invading Mexico. Oh, and putting the U.S. Army with live ammunition in the streets of the United States to shoot American citizens.
I just don't know really what to say. So I'm not quite sure that Donald Trump has come out and said he's going to put the U.S. Army with live ammunition on the streets of the United States to shoot American citizens. Does anybody know where when he said that? Anybody? Bill at BillO'Reilly.com. When did he say that? She just made it up. The camps are basically detention for people who violate borders. People who illegally enter countries are going to be detained. That's what she's talking about. Okay? So, no. This is what she wants you to believe. And the few people who watch MSNBC, and they are few, okay? She wants you to believe, oh, these are Nazis. Now, here's an interesting aside. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, big liberal, couldn't get more liberal, has announced today he's going to put the National Guard in the subway in New York City to protect people because Kathy Hochul can't, because she signed the Nobel Law. So she's the one putting the army on the streets or the subways of America, the liberal governor of New York, because things are so far out of control here in the city. I'm not in the city right now, but you know, I live 20 miles outside.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Fannie Willis, okay. So this is ridiculous. She should have been taken off the Trump conspiracy case already. I mean, there's no doubt there's misbehavior here all day long. There's no doubt about it. Now, the judge who has to make the decision And we understand that the closing argument is going to be Friday. The decision will be made next week. He's running for re-election in Fulton County. And it's a black county. And he boots Fannie. And what do you think? Oh, Fannie might survive this because of politics once again. But Fannie and her boyfriend, this is so crazy. Nathan Wade, who has no experience, but she appointed him to investigate the conspiracy charges against Trump and 18 others. You know, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is absurd. Here's what the governor of Georgia said on News Nation. Go.
Well, I got to be careful about what I say here because I was subpoenaed by Fannie Willis in the special grand jury. But it's hard to believe that a process that I think many people, including myself, believe is very political, regardless of the merits behind the case, has gotten even more political now because of her actions and those of Mr. Wade and others.
All right, keep in mind that the governor could fire Fannie Willis. Let's keep that in mind. He might be subpoenaed. He might have testified. Whatever, he'd fire. I'm the governor. You know, Fannie's on vacation with her boyfriend. That's where she is right now. Okay, so an interesting part of this case has been underreported, but not by just the news, which is an internet operation, and I hope you're familiar with it. That's John Solomon. I've been on his show. He's been on my show. And so apparently, Fannie sent Nathan to the White House twice, and maybe Fannie herself went to the White House. So what's that all about? Press has ignored it totally, but Jesse News has filed a Freedom of Information Act to find out what that was all about, and John Solomon joins us now from Washington, D.C. So I have that right? Is that what you did?
You did. We filed a lawsuit this week with the help of America First Legal, nonprofit law firm. And our goal is to get all communications between Fannie Willis's office and the White House regarding this prosecution. And the reason we have, there's strong reason to believe that there were these White House contacts. Why? Because there are billing records where Nathan Wade and his team bill for two meetings, one apparently in Washington at the White House, one in Augusta, Georgia, right, where the Masters golf course is often held. There is no explanation for what it is. And then in a ancillary court hearing, they revealed that there were at least two documents of communications between the Biden White House and Fannie Willis regarding the case. So we put a Freedom of Information Act request in. They came back and said, we don't have anything. And we said, well, you said in court you had something. You have billing records. So we're going to court now to force the disclosure of these records. And it's important because this fact pattern that we have here is still a little vague. But if we can get to the document, it matches exactly what happened in the Jack Smith case. If you remember about a year ago, I think you, Bill, and I, we talked about this. There is a moment where the Biden White House counsel tells the National Archives, sick the FBI on Donald Trump over these classified documents. There's a very specific memo, says, please give the evidence to the FBI. That initiates the FBI investigation that ultimately becomes the Jack Smith prosecutor. In all my years in Washington, I can't remember a time where a sitting White House, a sitting president, asked a federal agency to go report their chief political rival to the FBI to get an investigation started. So we already have that in fact and evidence, and now we've got these unusual White House contacts with a local prosecutor pursuing their chief political rival.
Okay. The White House, as you know, keeps logs of everybody who comes in and who they visit and how long they stay. Is that part of the FOIA request? Because then you could get Nathan, you know, was he there? Who did he see?
The Biden White House makes those logs available publicly. The names do not show up. So the assumption we have is that these meetings were not in the White House. They could be outside the White House. Clearly, a meeting in Augusta, Georgia is a long way from the White House. So the operating assumption we have from the facts that we have in evidence right now is that maybe these meetings were off campus somewhere where Secret Service logs do not cover
them. We don't know if anybody from Fannie Willis's office actually went into the White House. But the guy billed the state of Georgia for a trip to D.C. But how did we get White House out of that? Did he say I met with White House officials?
Yeah, it's marked as a White House meeting. That's what it's marked as. And then there's a separate one as a meeting in Augusta, Georgia. So we're
with
trying
White
to
House
pursue
officials
both of those.
There? With White
yes,
House
he uses the term White House. Yeah, he uses
really?
The term White House. So
that wasn't
we'll find out what that means.
That wasn't
but
very smart of him.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, after watching him on the stand, there's a lot of indiscretions that this man is going to be answering for, I think. Yeah. One of the most important things is that in a court question and answer moment, they do acknowledge that they have two documents from the Biden White House. They didn't describe them further other than to say that there are two documents that came or were derived from the Biden White House. That's part of our lawsuit. We want those documents. We want anything having to do with setting up these meetings, what was discussed in the meeting, what the follow-up with the
meeting
is.
Why would a low-level guy like that be meeting with a White House official about what? So that's a big story. And, of course, I don't know of anybody but you that's really aggressively pursuing it, right?
Not yet. I hope others follow us.
I don't think Fox News has done it. And that brings me to Fatima Graves. Now, I've told Ted Cruz and a bunch of other senators and congresspeople that the wife of Matthew Graves, the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., who was in charge of Hunter Biden's initial investigation and wouldn't take it, wouldn't do anything about it, has gone to the White House more than 20 times. Now, from my investigation, some of that had to do with Kamala Harris. Because apparently Fatima Graves is a buddy of Kamala Harris, but she went there and we don't know why. Why would the wife of a U.S. attorney involved in the Hunter Biden investigation go over to the White House more than 20 times? So I'd like you guys to get on that story.
We are. After we talked earlier this week, I've got two reporters now on that. We have some Freedom of Information Act requests we've sent to the Justice Department. FOIA, White House is exempt from FOIA, but we're working through the logs to see what other things happened around the time of these meetings, to see if there's some topical meetings that are going on. Is it Hunter Biden? Does Hunter Biden's lawyers come in around the time? We are deep in a dive on that, and we will stay on that. That is a great lead that we got from you, Bill.
I appreciate that, John. I wish I could do it, but I don't have the staff that you have, and I'm not in D.C. Last question. How long does it usually take for the FOIA requests to be adjudicated finally? How long does it take?
In federal court, it can be years. I have FOIA still pending from 18 and 19 that I'm litigating right now.
Wow.
In state law, like Georgia, Georgia's a very favorable open records law. And so we could theoretically see a resolution to this in the next 3 to 6 months, certainly before the election and probably before the summer. We feel very optimistic that we can get initial information discovery and the original documents out. That may result in more FOIAs, more discovery, but we think this will be wrapped up by the summer.
All right, John. Thanks very much. We appreciate it. Keep us posted on all fronts. And
will do,
again.
Bill. Thank you.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day, and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before, and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
All right. Now, I don't watch The View on ABC, even though I've appeared on it a dozen times. I don't really have time to do that. But we monitor that ABC news program. Remember, it comes under the ABC News banner. It's not an entertainment program. So we know the ladies. We know what their point of view is. And okay, again, I don't have any beef with that. If you want to watch The View, go ahead. It's all left-wing stuff all the time. So yesterday, Dr. Phil shows up on The View because he's got a new book, all right? And the book is called We've Got Issues, and it came out today, all right? So it's his first day publication. And he goes on the show, and he knows, because Phil is a traditional guy, all right? The country's noble, hard work and responsibility is what molds a worthwhile life. You know, Phil's message is fairly traditional. So he walks into the lion's den. Roll the tape.
Are you saying no school children died of COVID?
I'm saying it was the safest group. They were the less vulnerable group, and they suffered and will suffer more from the mismanagement of COVID than they will from the exposure to COVID. And that's not an opinion, that's a fact.
Oh, those ladies didn't like that. Oh, no, no. And joining us now from New York City is the aforementioned Dr. Phil McGraw, you know him, 21 years on TV. You know, he and I started pretty much the same time. I'm on Fox and he was on CBS in the national realm. He's written 10 New York Times bestsellers. He's got 9 more to go before he catches me. Had to put that in, Phil. I had, you know, a gratuitous comment. I had to do it. Ego out of control. Right here, you're looking at it. Anyway, the book is How You Can, We've Got Issues, How You Can Stand Strong for America's Soul and Sanity. So I'm looking at the book, and you have a problem here. And I don't even know whether you know the problem in your book, but I want your comment on it. What you write is perfect for people who would reasonably consider it. Responsibility, hard work, love of country, love of family, respect of family, traditional down the line. But we live in a world now where a lot of people have made their own fantasy lives from social media, from the internet. They don't live in the real world anymore, and therefore those motivations that you write about are lost on millions and millions of people who live on this. This is what they live on. Did you consider that when you were writing the book?
I did. And my hope is, because I also exist on those devices that people check 352 times a day, and YouTube and all of these devices, that, you know, maybe I can get somebody's attention that isn't a natural Dr. Phil follower or fan, and I've got to get people's attention some kind of way, because look, I don't even pretend or try to think that those people are going to flock to listen to me, but I don't make any mistake about it. I love this country. I love it enough to admit that it's got flaws and fallacies, but I love this country. I mean, I stand up when the flag goes by. I put my hand over my heart when they play the national anthem. I love this country, but does it have problems? Of course it does, and I can admit that. But we've got to take the narrative back in America. We've got this, I call them tyranny of the fringe, these activists that are pushing these crazy, wild agendas. And I think if you have somebody that can't show you fact, can't show you science, wants to rewrite history, something's way out of whack. And, you know, you're the history expert around here, and we've got people that are wanting to pretend things didn't happen that happened. They're wanting to rewrite things and tell our children. How are our children supposed to learn from mistakes we've made historically if they want to come in and woke wash history and take all of this out so the kids don't learn what happened at a different time?
Not only that the kids don't learn, but the skew is that we're an evil country. But look, you were in the environment yesterday that enables these fringe players to gain power. So the national media in America now is 80 to 90% pushing the progressive agenda. That's what really has driven this so quickly and gotten into the woke, equity, America's bad, we need to throw out everything zone, because the media does not challenge that. How do you deal with that?
Well, one of the ways you deal with it is what I did yesterday, and I'll keep doing, is I'll go into the lion's den and talk to them right there. You've done it when you've gone in and you call things as they are. I'll go in there and, you know, somebody, and one of their real often used tricks is I'll say something and they'll say, "So you're saying," no, you don't need to paraphrase me. We were both here. Did I say nobody, no children died from this? Yeah, I did, because I'm stupid, right? Of course I didn't say that. What I'm saying is this was a low-risk group. We were able to keep open all essential services, including grocery stores, first responders, hospitals, porn shops, They kept crazy things open, but we're going to shut down the schools. And, you know, I hear them say, okay, look, we closed the schools here. And in 08, 09, when these smartphones came out, something really started happening. We saw the biggest spike in anxiety, depression, loneliness, suicidal ideation, suicidality among young people that we have ever seen. And it continued getting worse from the time the smartphones came out, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12. It continued to get worse, the worst since they started keeping records. And they know this. And then so we see COVID hit in 2020, and they say, we're going to close the schools for a couple of weeks. I say, okay, that's fine. I get it. You need to get your bearings. But then when they said, all right, we're going to keep the schools closed for the rest of the year, and then they're going to keep them closed in the fall, I came out at the time and said, this is a really bad idea. We've got a mental health crisis among these young people, and you're going to close the schools, which is their lifeline.
And make them more isolated. Right. Now, why do you think you get pushback from the committed left? Why did the ladies of The View look askance at your position?
Because I think they believe and have bought into the fact that this is was at the time some kind of right mentality to shut everything down. They look at this virus as though, I guess, it treats everybody the same. I don't think they should have shut the schools down. And I said so at the time. I said the treatment of these kids and the effects of the quarantine are going to create more problems for these kids than the virus ever will. And when I said that, everybody acted like I was some kind of crazy man, heretic, to say that. Now, when that actually came true, then everybody, I didn't get any calls saying, hey, we're sorry, we were wrong about that. You were right, we were wrong.
You'll never do, but you're prospering, and Fauci, I think, is in Molokai, Hawaii, in a former leper colony. He's out, so you won. Last question. Somebody buys the book, and, you know, people don't read as much as they used to anymore. You got to really have a hook to get them to buy your book. What is your hook? What will people learn when they read You've Got Issues, or We've Got Issues, I should say?
That is a great question. And here's the thing. I think people know what I'm saying is right. A lot of people know what I'm saying is right. They know that what is being pushed on them by these extreme activists is wrong, but they don't know the facts to use to push back. What they need are the talking points, the facts to push back, and I'm giving them the facts. I'm giving them the empirical data. Let me give you an example, and I'm not going to roll on forever here. Let me give you an example. They're using these trigger warnings in the universities where our coddled young people are being treated like they were some kind of delicate flowers that can't be taught how to live in the real world. We've got the vast majority of universities using trigger warnings to alert these kids that, oh, something might come up that upsets you. Well, you know what? Trigger warnings don't work. Trigger warnings actually create the very thing that they're alerting kids could happen,
anxiety,
which is create anxiety, panic attacks, whatever. They actually create what they're warning against. Now, the research, which is very, I mean, it's a big body of literature here, that says they don't work. In fact, they say they're counterproductive, because what you want to do with people that are sensitive to that, it's teach them coping skills. Use systematic desensitization, dialectical behavior therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, whatever, so they learn to cope with this stuff so they're not paralyzed by it. They're doing exactly what you're not supposed to do. Now, here's the thing, Bill. These universities they have access to the same literature that I have access to, which is that this is the wrong thing to do. But they continue to do it because they're virtue signaling.
They're woke and they're virtue signaling. All right, the book is We've Got Issues. Doc, we appreciate you. Welcome anytime on the program. And keep fighting a good fight, all right?
Hey, thanks for what you do. Keep doing it, my friend.
See you later. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Mexico. So Mexico is a narco state. What does that mean? It is run by criminals. Now, the President Obrador is a far-left socialist guy. And he came in and said, you know what? We're not going to really confront these cartels. We're going to give them hugs. Okay, remember that statement? Well, the cartels were just thrilled with that. And they spread money around, big money, to Mexico City elected officials and to the military. So right now in Mexico, it's run top to bottom by the drug cartels. Obrador doesn't really have much power. Okay? Enter the United States. We do nothing about this. Nothing. Trump at least confronted Obrador on a couple of fronts, which is why he got the troops, Mexican troops, on the northern border and the border with Guatemala in the south. But Biden doesn't do it, all right? He's the three amigos, you know, Justin up there in Canada, him and Obrador. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of people dying, hundreds of thousands. If you add up the ODs in America and all the murders and disappearances in Mexico, it's probably in the millions. They're dying. All right. So what do we do as individual Americans? Many of us travel to Mexico. Why would you do that? I'm never going to Mexico again in my life, ever, because of what that country is doing to America. Okay? I'm just not going. Even on a work basis, I don't think I'm going to go. All right? If I had to go to China and Russia from work, I'd go. All right? If I had to go to Iran on work, I'd go. Mexico, I think I would say no. That's how angry I am at this Obrador government. Now, I don't know whether Obrador is taking money or not, but I know the people around him are. And so does our government. They know. So thousands, estimated 100,000 kids on spring break are going to Mexico. And there is a State Department warning, okay? In the state of Quintana Roo, which is Cancun, as well on the Pacific side, Acapulco, the State Department is warning it's dangerous. And these kids are going down there anyway. What is wrong with the parents here? And if you have a, if you have, I get a lot of emails, well, I'm on a cruise and the cruise stops the, all right, I understand. If it's a cruise and it's a one day, okay. And you're going to other places. I got it. Cruise ships shouldn't be going there. Okay. Cruise ships are anti-American if they're even stopping there. Now, a few years ago, I went down to Cabo, all right, on the Pacific coast. And I was work. I was on a Men of Adventure trip, but I was working, really, undercover. And the military was all over the place. The checkpoints in Cabo, St. Lucas, they were all over the place. Gone now. They're not there anymore, okay? And last night on News Nation, which is really emerging as your best source of information, if you're watching nightly cable news. News Nation is better, is giving you a much more, a wider perspective than the others. This Mexico topic came up. Roll it.
What is it to say that the Mexican government has now lost control of the one area that they had put off limits for the cartels?
I think, I mean, really what it's to say is that Obrador has no control over the military. I mean, just a few weeks ago, there was an article that came out that he was repurposing the military for things like filling potholes. So really, I mean, manning the planes, manning the trains. And that's not something that they should be doing. That is not the purpose of the Mexican military.
The military is the only body in Mexico to take on a cartels because the local cops and the state cops are all bribed. And, if they don't take the bribe, they kill them and their family. So if you're a cop and you don't take the money from the cartel, the local guy, he's going to kill you and your whole family and your kids. Okay, that's the way it goes. That's a narco state. Never going there again. Smart life. Okay. If you eat out, you're paying 30% more than you paid in 2019, according to the Labor Department. 30%. If you eat out, okay? Why? Because wages for hourly workers have risen in 22 states and sometimes topping 20 bucks an hour now. And the food is more expensive, okay? Because of the Biden inflation. So You want to go out once in a while for a nice meal, a place that has good food, right? Here are some tips, smart life tips. Number one, drink water. I'm sorry, if you want a few glasses of wine, have them at home. Drink before you go or when you come back. You order any beverage in a restaurant, you're going to pay a lot of money for it. I mean, just a soda is $5. Don't order a soda anyway because it's bad for you. Okay, number two, instead of an entree, and I do this, and I'm a big guy, okay? I order two appetizers now, all right? And it usually fills me up. But the entrees are running $50, $60. And if you see, try it. See if it works. Some places give you big appetizers, a lot of food. If you go to the small plates, it's the biggest ripoff in the world, you're not going to get that. And finally, no dessert. Stop on your way home if you want dessert. But don't buy dessert in a restaurant. You're going to be crazy to do that. Tip 20%. But if you really want to be smart about it, you can order your food and take it home. So order exactly what you'd order in a restaurant, but you're going to take it out. Every restaurant does that now, and you don't have to tip. Then they'd give you you want to leave a tip for a phone call? No, I'm not going to leave a tip for that. But when you're there, tip your server 20%. Smart life. Okay, final thought of the day. We are asking you very politely to check out concierge membership on BillO'Reilly.com as an insurance policy for your life. We answer all kinds of questions, totally confidential. No one will ever know. You get an email directly to me, and within 24 hours, most of the time, we get right back to you. So I got an email from a guy in California. He said, we've owned an oceanfront three-bedroom Marriott timeshare on Maui for more than 16 years, and now we should sell it. You have any recommendations on how to best market the property? Well, I do. And I gave this concierge member, because I have been to Maui 3 times. I know the island. I know how the commerce is conducted. So I think I gave this guy pretty good advice. And that's a big investment. And we can do that for you based upon my life experience. All right, so that's what concierge membership is all about. Thank you very much for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you on Monday. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.